Yes, there we go. All right, so we talked about this already just a little bit, but do you guys ever feel discouraged? Any responses? You ever feel discouraged?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, we can feel discouraged about the state of our world, the state of our country. Maybe we're just discouraged about our own personal situation. But sometimes the world, and maybe even just what's going on in our own lives, seems so messed up. Problems are so big. We're never going to see any change. Maybe you don't feel that way all the time, but I gotta say that I certainly feel that way at moments where I just go, it's pointless. Why try to make any difference in this circumstance? And I find the parables that we're going to look at tonight in Matthew and Luke 13, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, to be so helpful as we think about the difficulties in the world, but also the work of God on behalf of people. So let me read Luke chapter 13 for us. Here. All right. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." Would you pray with me? Father, as we look at your word tonight, we ask that but that your spirit would be working in us, giving us understanding to its application to our lives, and it would be an encouraging thing to us. Father, use it to comfort us, assure us of your love for us, and empower us to live with hope and boldness as we love the people around us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to show you something here, which maybe you'll recognize and maybe you won't. But this here, see how I get my background. This is a 20-sided dice. So some of you know that when you think of dice, you think of a 6-sided object. But dice can come in a lot of different shapes. And in certain kinds of games, they use many different sided dice. There are 4-sided dice, there are 8-sided dice, 10-sided dice, 12-sided dice, and this is a 20-sided dice. And this is a particular interest to me because my oldest son has taken up the hobby of making dice. So he's making these multi-sided dice for some of the games that he plays, but just because he enjoys it. And to make dice, what he does is he takes 2 different liquids. They're both clear, particularly for this one, so you can see that it's absolutely clear. And then he mixes them together and he pours them into a mold. And as you look at these 2 liquids, there doesn't seem anything special about them. And when you mix them together, it doesn't look like anything is happening. But if you understand how resins work, when you mix those 2 liquids together, there is a chemical reaction going on. You can't see it. It seems imperceptible, but just because we can't perceive the change doesn't mean something important isn't happening. And what's happening over a period of 10, 12, 24 hours is that this liquid is becoming rock solid. Goes from something you could, move around on your hands to something that is absolutely solid. And the work of God is like that. It's often imperceptible. It's often something that we can't see or smell, but it's happening. It's happening. And so what that should lead us to do is to not trust in our perception of what's going on. Not that we don't, use our eyes and our intuition, but we need to understand that the work of God is sometimes imperceptible, and we need to trust God's promises, and we need to trust in the work that He is doing. And I find this particularly encouraging in our current circumstance because I keep hearing there's a vaccine, but I haven't seen it yet. I can see the building where they say it's being made, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. So I'm trusting. I'm trusting that it's going on. And that's what we need to do with the work of God. And it starts talking about the work of God as a mustard seed. And I don't know if you know anything about a mustard seed, but it's very small. It's sort of like a speck. And it was often used in a colloquial way in the first century Israel as a way of describing something insignificant or you know, unimportant. You might say, you know, if that man had an ounce of, that man doesn't even have an ounce of decency. That's a way of sort of saying he has so little. He doesn't even have an ounce. And mustard seed was often used that way. That man doesn't have a mustard seed of decency in him. Okay, so you understand so how it gets used. Jesus says, look, even something so small as a mustard seed can become something quite impressive. A mustard seed can grow, it's really like a bush, but it'd be like a gigantic tree-like bush, maybe 10, 12, even 14 feet tall. And Jesus is basically saying the kingdom of God may seem small and insignificant, but even great things have very small beginnings. And so I just wanted to ask you the question, can you think of anything that has some sort of small beginning, but then became something pretty impressive?
United States of America.
Well, yeah, our own country. Any other examples?
About Christianity?
Well, that would be the direct you know, correlation because Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God would spread. And it did start small. It started well, I mean, once it started with the ministry of God in Israel, it started with one man, Abraham.
Each one of us starts off as a single cell.
That's right. Yeah. There's a
Car
number.
industry, the auto industry started off with what, one type of car, and now look at all of them.
One of the, yeah, it's probably. It's among the largest industries in the world. Or you can think about Apple computer. I got an iPhone right here. How did Apple computer start? It started in someone's garage. The kingdom of God is like that. It starts small. We have something small right here. But just because something is small doesn't mean it's meaningless or insignificant or not important. And we could talk about what our hopes are for things that start small, whether it's something in your life or even this ministry. What, you know, what are the hopes for this ministry? And I'll tell you that it's my hope that Safe Harbor will certainly grow, will grow enough to become, you know, a strong body of believers. And when we talk about the mustard seed becoming a bush, becoming this great tree, it says even the birds of the air, you know, perch in it and find shelter in this tree. Now, what are the birds of the air? And it's a little unclear. Are they sinners in the nation of Israel who are wayward are going to find shelter in the kingdom of God? Is it non-Jews, Gentiles who would eventually come into the kingdom of God? Is it just simply people who don't believe at all? And even if they don't ever believe, they even find shelter in the kingdom of God. And it might mean all of those things. Because the key idea here is that something small becomes something large and meant for sheltering people who need it, people who need a place of safety. That's what I'm hoping Safe Harbor will be. It'll be a place of shelter and safety for all kinds of people, whoever they may be, whatever their backgrounds may be. And that gets to the value and dignity of all people that I was talking about. We might have different backgrounds, we might have different struggles, might have different politics, might have different beliefs about certain kinds of things, even pretty important things. But it's my prayer that, when I talk about here, you know, we're in this virtual space right now, but that Safe Harbor, even though we might not agree, the people will be loved here. people will be honored, no matter who they are. Again, you might have disagreements on things.
Well, Daryl, you know, I want to comment on the tree. Yeah. I mean, that also is a metaphor, I believe, for fellowship as well. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm adding to what you're saying is that the tree also represents fellowship or the church, right? Where everybody gathers, and that would be the gathering flocks, right? The birds.
Yeah. Yeah. That people find a place of shelter. And that's so important. And when I think about our you know, America today and our current cultural situation, you know, we live in a pretty tumultuous time. You know, there are a lot of raised voices, a lot of harsh accusations. We talk about cancel culture. People get, you know, pretty upset about some things they see in the media. But I don't want Safe Harbor to be a place where anybody gets canceled. What we need to see in us is for the gospel to take root in us in such a way that it strengthens us. It strengthens us in the knowledge that God loves us, and then therefore enables us to love other people well. And when we come in contact with people who think differently than we do, that we're not threatened by that in any way. And that you can be a place of shelter for the people you come in contact with at work, you know, in the grocery store. I mean, again, it's a little bit odd talking about this, because we just don't bump into people the way we used to. But whoever comes your way, that the kingdom of God takes root in you in such a way that you can be a place of safety and shelter for whoever the person is in front of you, whoever is that, you know, the neighbor, if we quote another parable, whoever that neighbor may be. That's what I'm hoping for. And that's what I would pray that would happen in you, and you would be able to love people that way. That is an encouraging thing, that something small can become something that serves people, cares for people, changes people's lives. So that's the mustard seed. Then there's the work of the leaven, and that's the work not of expansion and growth per se, but of transformation, having something change from one, having one quality to having another, not unlike the dice. You know, at one point it was liquid, but now it's solid. And the illustration that Jesus uses is making bread and the use of leaven and the importance of leaven. I don't know if any of you have ever watched anybody make bread. You know, early in our marriage, Mary used to make a lot of bread. She used to pound on that dough. I'm not sure if that was related to her frustrations with me, she would put in a little bit of leaven and pound it and pound it and pound it. Now I'd watch, and I really couldn't see much change in the dough, just because she's adding just this little bit of you know, powder, it seemed like, to it, and then her pounding. But something important was going on. Something essential was happening. And it's the difference. What was happening is the difference between soft, warm, delicious bread and hot rocks. Because if you don't put leaven in that dough, or the leaven or the yeast goes bad, what you get out of the oven is inedible. So the yeast, even though it's a little bit, makes an essential transformation. And it only takes a little bit to transform the whole batch. And I find that a very encouraging thing as well. It does not take much to make all the world a difference. It says three measures, you know. So, you know, that's basically like a vat of dough. And just, you know, enough that you could sit in the palm of your hand could work through the whole dough and transform it. Now, at times we feel like we're pretty small, and maybe I can do some good, but really, what good would it do? It's not going to change the world. And I remember a line from a favorite movie of mine from years ago, Field of Dreams. Anybody seen Field of Dreams? Okay, I love Field of Dreams partly because it's about baseball and partly because it's about fathers and sons. In this movie, a guy named Ray Kinsella, played by, his name's getting away from me now.
Kevin Costner,
thank you. Is chasing around, you know, people all around the country that these voices are telling him, and he's seeing things in dreams. And he comes across this former minor league baseball player, Moonlight Graham, only played one inning or half an inning in Major League Baseball, but ends up going back to his hometown, becomes a doctor. Just sort of a small town doctor, family practice. And as Ray ends up interacting with what's essentially is his ghost, he comes back and he talks with James Earl Jones, who is plays the famous 60s writer, Terrence Mann. He says, why are we sitting here? I mean, this guy, he was nobody important. He didn't change the world. And Terrence Mann says to him, he did for these people. Because there were these stories of how, as a family doc and as a lover of baseball, he made a tremendous difference in a small town. But for these people, he changed the world. You know, the things that you do, it doesn't feel necessarily like they're important. But they have a cascade effect. And you have no idea where the good you do goes. You leave that to the Lord. But when you are transformed, when you begin to take on the character of Christ, and you simply love the people around you, good things happen. And you don't know all of where it goes. There's a story from my time at the University of South Carolina, so my kids will know who I'm talking about when I say this, but there was a young lady who was coming to our ministry. She was not a believer in Christ. She thought of herself as a Christian because she wasn't a Buddhist and she wasn't Jewish. She grew up going to church, but she didn't really have any faith in Jesus. But she was coming to our ministry, and she had a hard background. Her mother had died in a car accident. Her father was a very hard man, got remarried and divorced that woman, and she lived with her stepmom and didn't have a very positive relationship with her father. And she was kind of hard and had edges to her. My wife found out during her sophomore year, first semester sophomore year, that her stepmom was moving and there wasn't a bedroom for her. She came to me and said, I think we should invite this young lady to come stay in our extra bedroom this summer, which I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Are you sure you want to do this? But she, Mary, prevailed upon me and invited her to come. And that Christmas, this young lady came to faith and she came to live with us. And we watched the most dramatic kind of transformation that in my mind began, certainly with her coming and hearing the gospel, but with this act of kindness, act of hospitality. You know, you don't have some place to stay. If you want, you can come stay with us. And she became family. Stayed with us two summers. She was in the house and watched our dog the night that Eli was born, our oldest. And I watched the Lord not only change her, but then have that spill out to her fellow students. And I watched kind of this domino effect of a number of students that she knew and had come to our ministry come to faith. All cascading out from a simple act of hospitality. Stay in our spare bedroom one summer, and from that, not only were other people coming to faith, but we watched families form and watched those couples have children, and I remain in relationship with them to this day. This simple act of hospitality changed the had a cascade effect that changed maybe the eternal destinies of as many as a dozen, 20 people. We don't know how the Lord is going to use us, but as he transforms us and he simply puts us in circumstances, that leaven, that good has a way of permeating to everything around. And that's again, as I've said, encouraging to me, because it seems like I get overwhelmed with darkness in the world. And I think, okay, great. I do something, you know, I have one little lighter of light, I'm trying to light in the darkness, but really what impact does it make? The Lord can use it to transform everything around you. So never underestimate what God might do in and through you to transform your family, your community, your neighborhood. Again, we have media, we have Twitter, we have TV always shouting in our ears, pointing out all the negative, all the mixed motives that people might have doing what they're doing, that no one's good. Where you see the light, where you see an opportunity to show the light, point it out. Share God's love. Share the mercy that you've been shown in Christ. And celebrate the advance, however small. That's what we need to do that. And I'd say particularly now, whenever you see something good going in someone's life, celebrate. Whenever you see something good in your own life happen, point it out to yourself. And say, see, God is at work. It might be small, but it doesn't mean it's unimportant. It doesn't mean that it's insignificant. A little bit goes a long way.
Daryl, I'm going to draw a parallel to what you're talking about, you know, because Jesus also uses the mustard seed as a beginning of faith, mm-hmm. and how faith can be as small as a mustard seed. Right. And then grows. And I think that there's a parallel. There's a direct parallel, not only in the metaphor, but also in the growth of faith. As there is in the growth of a church, because to me, as faith grows, that church will grow with it.
Yeah. the big takeaway from these parables is this, that just because something is small or its impact seems imperceptible doesn't mean it's unimportant. And in fact, God might do with it something amazing in your life, in the life of the people that you love. But for us to fully take that in, we need to keep hoping, we need to keep trusting in that work and to see God do something amazing with it. That's what I encourage you to be thinking on this week in your own life, whether it's at work or just interacting with the world and the pandemic. Things discourage you. Where is God at work? It might be in the most small thing. So look for it and celebrate. Didn't know if anybody had any comments on the lesson.
I had a thought.
Yeah.
I had a thought that I thought it was interesting that you brought up the field of dreams, because when you read the scripture about how he planted the seed and the tree grew and the birds came, what came right into my mind is build it and they will come.
Yeah.
You know, and the next thing you brought up, you know, the field of dreams, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So.
Any other reactions, things you'd like to share?
I think it reminds me a little bit of our experience with Stephen's ministry. Mm. I see Nancy, one of my fellow teammates on Stephen's ministry, and we believe a lot in the fact that just being there, a couple of kind words or just listening can make a big difference, even though it seems pretty insignificant. But you know, we talk the parable about they didn't know what to do, so they all just hugged for days. You know, no words. It doesn't take a lot of words, and it doesn't take a lot of action sometimes to make a big difference. It's just caring.
Never underestimate the power of your presence and a disposition of caring.
Yeah.
It can change everything.
Daryl, I think in this environment that we're going through right now, I think it's really important, even when we go to a store, whether it's grocery store, Target, wherever, that we remember to thank the employees for being there, because it could be so easy for them to feel very discouraged, because here they are putting their life on the line in many ways for us. And so oftentimes we just don't show any appreciation for that. And that doesn't necessarily shine the light for Jesus, but when I thank them, I know it's because of him.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just a thought.
Well, thanks for sharing that.